We're on Psalm 63, and some time ago, probably a couple years ago, I preached on Psalm 63, and so tonight I'm just going to preach on one verse, Psalm 63:1, and not even the entire verse. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God, early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. As I said, I've preached on Psalm 63 before and the entire psalm. And sometimes I preach on a verse at one time, but when I've already preached on a passage, and this time half a verse. Benjamin Franklin is known for his saying, the early bird gets the worm. And this psalm is actually called the early psalm. That was its nickname. And it's great to seek God early in life, to seek God early each day. It's great to be early to church. And so we have this early psalm here. And my first point for you tonight is this early seeking is because of a relationship with God. Psalm 63:1a. Oh God, you are my God. Atheists preach no God, and the only thing they do early or do quickly is sin. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. Atheists run to sin. Christians should run to God. Their feet are swift to do evil, and they make haste. They're speedy to shed blood. Proverbs 1:16. Non-believers, non-Christians might have some concept of God or gods, but no good relationship with the living and true God. We read, for according to the number of your cities were your gods. This is in Jeremiah 11, 13, and 14. To the number of streets in Jerusalem, you have set off altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. So do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me, because of their trouble. And those who worship many gods or don't worship the true God, does God hear their prayers? Well, unless they're repenting of those gods, no, he won't hear their prayers. He says, don't even bother to pray for them. True believers have an early, I will seek you, relationship with God because, A, God has chosen them. They love him. They choose him. They seek him because he first loved them. As it says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. As early as we may be, God was there first. He loved us first. He loved us most. He chose us. He loved us. The Lord has appeared of old. Again, Jeremiah said, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. God knew you from before the foundation of the world. Before you were born, he loved you and cared for you and brought you to himself. God's people seek him early because he has covenanted with them. They are his people and he is their God. Oh God, you are my God. I'm not including all the verses here, but I could have gone all the way back to Genesis, to Abraham, and read about the covenant of how God would be God to Abraham and to his children, and they would be his people, and they would be their God. But we see it all through Scripture. Jeremiah 31:33, it says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That you see repeated throughout Scripture. Ezekiel 37:27, my tabernacle, meaning his tent he would set up with them, also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the covenant. Again, the Old Testament is applied in the New. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. These promises of God, this covenant that he has made is applied to new covenant believers, even us who are Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:19 says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. 2 Corinthians 1:19 and 20. All the promises of God that are in Scripture that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, they apply also to us, maybe in different ways. Sometimes physical promises are for them are spiritual promises for us. The promised land for them was actual land. For us, it is heaven. It is eternal life. And for them, it was ultimately eternal life too, because we will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in heaven. And why? Because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, fulfilled the covenant when he died on the cross for our sins. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's that promise again. And notice there, it's made to the Corinthians, who were mostly Gentiles. And they were the temple of God. That means we also are the temple of God. God dwells in us. He is our God, and we are his people. We have this relationship with him. We see this even in the last book of the Bible, when we are in the new heaven and on the new earth. Revelation 21:3-4 describes that. It says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Why seek God early? Because we have a relationship with him. He is our God. We are his people. David had this relationship, and that's why he sought God early. Secondly, we seek God early because of a conversion to God. Oh God, still verse 1. Oh God, you are my God, Psalm 63. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Non-believers have no desire for God or the things of God. They're fine in a dry and thirsty land, meaning a spiritually dry and thirsty. They don't care about these things. But if we're in a dry and thirsty land, we long for God. We long for these spiritual things. If they'd known God, they would not have crucified Christ, as it says, 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they'd known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd what that means, if they'd understood how wonderful Jesus was, if they understood that he is the great Son of God, if they would have recognized him for who he is, they would not have crucified him. Now, there's a sense that none of us knew that except by the Spirit. And that's the part that's next. None of us know God or the things of God without God's Spirit and the new birth, as it says in the next few verses, 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, Yes, the deep things of God. Why do we have a relish for the kingdom of God? Why do we desire it? Why is it something that makes us come to church, even in the evening? And why do we read our Bibles? And why do we delight in these things? Well, it's because the Spirit is working in our hearts. And we are changing. And we're becoming new creatures. And we desire heavenly things. This is what God does. We see this. It starts with the new birth. Jesus answered and said to him, meaning Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5 again, he says again, "Unless one is born of the water, water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And then he says to Nicodemus, who is a leader among the Jews, a teacher, somebody who should have known these things, he says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Unless we're totally newborn, we won't have a great desire for heavenly things. We will be just like the non-believers who don't care for church, who don't read the Bible. They don't have a relish or a passion for these things. Why? Because they have not been born again. And they have not felt this desire. Now, sometimes even Christians can lose this desire when they get caught up in so many other things. But we have to keep that desire. And that desire makes us want to meet with God early. It makes us want to get right with God early if we've sinned. It makes us want to repent early, come to church early, do everything early. Ungodly people consider spiritual things foolishness. There's no desire in their heart for them. 1 Corinthians 2, 8 through 16, verse 14 is what I have here. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. These things aren't understood, discerned, unless we are born again, unless we are seeing them from the power of God's Spirit. David seeks God early because of God's God-given spiritual desires. Notice the desires he had for God. He says, "My soul thirsts for you." Have you ever thirsted for God? You know, I've been thirsty for drinks, right? You thirst for a drink or something. But to thirst for God is a whole other thing. "My flesh longs for you." Has your flesh longed for God in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water? You know, sometimes when people are cut off from church for a while, for whatever reason, and they just can't go, that yearning gets built up again and it gets strong again. We seek God early because we are new creatures. As I already said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." In the past, and I've used it many times, I used the illustration of a kissed and unkissed frog. That unkissed frog, when the princess holds that frog close, doesn't want anything to do with her. He fights, he tries to get away, he thinks he's going to get ate. But as soon as he's kissed and he changes into a prince, the whole world is different. The princess is beautiful to him. He has a whole new kingdom. He doesn't want to get away and jump into the swamp. And when we become Christians, we desire a heavenly kingdom. We have those things that are heavenly, that are above, that we want. New heavenly desires are set on things above. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth." Yeah, and that is something we do, as the psalm is saying, early. We thoroughly seek God early because we know that we have to. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." This is talking about not every day, but when a person is young, they should convert to Christianity. When a person is young, they should repent. And if they're 89 and they haven't repented yet, they should repent before they turn 90. They need to be, while they're younger, repenting. And we need to know now is the time. It's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It's now. This refers, as I said, to seeking God early in our lives. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Some of you have already experienced some of the difficult days. Things are not as easy as they were before. And reading, memorizing scripture, praying, all these things get harder as we get older. And you're glad if you sought the Lord early, because you know you had that there already. If somebody started to seek God in their late in life, they're in trouble. They have a hard time doing that. Seeking God early means early each day. My voice shall you hear in the morning, David said in Psalm 5. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. That means if you wait too long during the day and you don't go to God, you're tempted to wickedness and to evil and to sin. First thing. Now, I heard this morning, it was a totally different thing. It had to do with your diet. And sometimes I'm interested in diet because I'm not doing so well with that. But she said, it was breakfast really the most important day thing in the world? Is breakfast the most important meal of the day? It was the question. And she was saying, well, yes and no. Yes, because your first meal is important. What you eat there, so it kind of sets the routine for the day and gets you started either good or bad with what you eat. But she says, if the first thing you eat is at 12 noon, it doesn't matter if it's 6 in the morning or 12 noon, the first thing should be something good. And the first thing we should do during a day should be go to God. He's got to be first in priority, and he should be, why not first in time? How does verse 4 reverse to verse 3 in Psalm 5? It seems David is saying, he will pray each day early. Why? Because in not doing so either is wicked or opens the door to wickedness. You know, I bet you the day that he fell to Bathsheba wasn't a day that he prayed early, and he probably had missed on that day. We fall when we don't seek God early. Not seeking God early leads to calamity. This is basic in basic life. Solomon wrote this to start Proverbs 1:24 through 29, he says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. Now this is talking about non-believers, but people who have had an opportunity to hear the gospel and they put it off and they ignored it. And they maybe thought, well, when I'm older, I'll convert. And he says, I will mock when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, some people trust that they will be like the thief on the cross, and at the last minute they can get right to God if they need to. But God tells us in Scripture, the thief on the cross is not necessarily the norm. It was great grace that saved that thief, but there was another on the cross next to Jesus that wasn't saved. There were two thieves, one on each side, and one of them didn't get saved at the last minute. And when we read in Proverbs of these people, even though they prayed, it was too late. They weren't early enough. They weren't right with God early enough. Seek God early, because calamity is the nature of life in this world. Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. When it says the days are evil, it means we don't know what tomorrow will be. We don't know if we even have a tomorrow. Even the if there were, let's say, Philip were here, the piano player who's, I think, 14 or 15 years old. Is he guaranteed tomorrow? He could be in a car accident, and if he's not right with the Lord, he's not guaranteed tomorrow. We've all had a lot of tomorrows already. Are we guaranteed tomorrow? No, not in this world. We are to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The days being evil in this verse means any day can be the day that's your last day. Any day can be that day where you have to meet with the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm, Psalm 63, which is called the early psalm because of verse 1 where it says, "Early I will seek you." And Father, we pray that we would seek you early in our lives each day, in every way, that we might put you first in front of other things. I pray that I would do that, and that each lady here would do that. And Father, even more in our church that aren't here, we pray for this kind of devotion to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.